Thanks, Mara, and hello, everyone. I'd love to say nice to see you all, but since I can't see any of you, I'll just trust that you're listening intently and not thinking about all the barbecue you're missing in Austin. So kicking off on the discussion of whether the PF is even the right vehicle to start with, Emiliano and I wanted to spend a little bit of time just thinking through some really core questions that it's worth discussing with your clients before moving ahead with a private foundation. We're also going to discuss some funding strategies a little bit later, which touches on some of these same questions, and that'll be in the second part of the discussion. So there's really four topics that we wanted to quickly move through to determine if a private foundation or if an alternative vehicle might be the right one for your client, or whether there may be some combination of those that's the best fit. You'll hear us refer to kind of the toolkit of options that you have when counseling your budding philanthropist, and it's not always a one size fits all situation. So you can keep all of these things in mind when counseling your clients on starting their philanthropic journey. So first of all, what are the tax drivers for your client, if any? So is there an IPO? Has there been a company sale? Is there another taxable event for which they're looking to reduce their taxable income for deductible contributions to a 501c3 entity? Are they concerned about the ongoing tax-free appreciation of assets that are contributed? Second question is really, what level of control over the philanthropic activities does your client want? And thinking about that both in the near and the long term. Third is, how much infrastructure is needed or desired? When forming a private foundation, there is a significant level of infrastructure that needs to be in place, just given the regulatory environment that private foundations are operating in. So is that something that your clients want? And finally, what level of flexibility or creativity is important to them? And are some of the pathways that they're anticipating non-charitable? Do they want to do lobbying work? Do they want to do electioneering? Do they want to do venture investing? Or are they anticipating some return on their activities? And so I'll jump in to the first question on tax consideration. So as most of you are aware, contributions to both public charities and private foundations, which are kind of our two 501c3s, are both tax deductible. But public charities have a higher tax deductible giving limit as a percentage of AGI and are more likely to allow for a fair market valuation for a lot of different non-cash assets. There's also a subspecies of private foundations, private operating foundations, which have a similar but not identical tax deductibility to public charities. So what that might mean for your client is that if they're looking to really maximize deductibility and depending on the assets they're contributing, they may want to consider contributions to public charity entities versus a private foundation. That'll provide maximum deductibility, but as we'll touch on in the next question, may indicate less control over those assets going forward. Private operating foundation may provide somewhat of a Goldilocks solution, where you still have a controlled private foundation entity with both maximum deductibility and maintaining that control. But a lot of times, you know, contributions to a DAF through a sponsoring public charity are going to provide the deductibility your client's looking for and a level of influence over the further distributions that they'd like to make with those philanthropic assets. And so for a lot of folks, this is kind of the happy medium when deductibility might be driving the philanthropic structuring and decisions. Next would be kind of what level of control and involvement are they looking for? So do they want to have absolute control over the oversight and direction of the assets? Are they comfortable with a narrower range of activities in grant making? And Emiliano is going to touch a little bit on that. And then are there already organizations doing this work or organizations that would be interested in housing a project? If the donor is comfortable with less control or doesn't necessarily want to be redundant to other orgs already doing the work, they could consider a DAF, funding a research center, or look at other types of restricted charitable funds at existing public charities. That's going to meet the deductibility interest they might have, but maybe less control. So also, what's the timeline for producing the outcome? So is there a specific area of interest, but the goals are relatively short term? So maybe if this is a new idea, just getting its legs, could consider looking at a fiscally sponsored project where there can be maintained some direction over the activities and control, but you're not going to have to build up a lot of the infrastructure that Emiliano is going to talk about. So really the top line is just, you know, looking at deductibility questions carefully, really talking to your client about those, and thinking about alternatives, including non-C3 entities, really depending on what type of activities that they're looking at. And we're going to spend a decent amount of the session today discussing the restrictions on private foundations with which a donor needs to comply. But this isn't the only burden. You know, with more control, typically there is a higher level of overhead and infrastructure that's going to be required. So if your client is comfortable ceding a bit of control, they may find it useful to consider some of these alternative options, again, depending on what their tax goals are. So I'll pass it over to Emiliano to discuss a little more about infrastructure and potential activities that your clients may be looking at.